Praise the Lord. Let's spend a few moments in prayer before we look into the Word. Loving Father, Lord, we thank you for giving us such a beautiful morning as we have come together again. Lord, in your Lord's Day, the day that you have set aside for your glory, Lord, as we look into thy precious Word this morning, we pray, Lord, that you will transport us to the world that we have not been. And also, Lord, take a moment to recognize that you are here with us. Lord, you've already reminded the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is with us. So, Lord Jesus, as we look into your own precious word that has been given to us this morning, Lord, we pray that every act of distraction will be taken away. And, Lord Jesus, every word that you would want us to obey this morning and in our coming life, Lord, we will be able to discern that and apply it in our own lives. Lord, we have asked all these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good to see you all. Hopefully, Lord gave all of us a good week. And a lot of our sick people are back. And good to see, again, a full contingent here. We've been looking for the few months leading up to today into something very important. So I'm going to read again one verse that I've been continuing to read from Hebrews chapter 9, and then we will go through our main reading. But this has been the theme of what we've been looking at for the past few months, which is saying in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28 says, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." We've been looking at this subject of second time. We've been singing all morning till he returns. We've been looking at that subject for eagerly waiting. We've been trying to think about what does this word eagerly waiting mean? How can we apply it in our own lives? How can we transport ourselves to why that was very important to the first century Christians? Why is it important to us, each of us here who have been brought with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? How can we continue to live in the light of the revelation that has been given to each one of us? What can we do to prepare ourselves? What can we do to not be caught off guard? What is it that we sometimes fall into a trap of? Now, there are many things that we've been looking at. And we looked at some of the readings past few Sundays. We've been looking at this. And I'm going to transport you again back into today. It's the 11th of September, 2022. That means it's about 2,000 years, approximately 2,000 years since our Lord was offered up as a sacrifice on the cross. 2,000 years, time has passed. We're living in the church age, and you are the sheep, and our shepherd has died for us, and we've already seen how personal it has become for each one of us, because we say it's my shepherd. We have now a part in being in the family of God. Now, while there was also a family of God 2,000 years ago, before our Lord Jesus Christ was about to depart from this world, before he was going to be offered as a living sacrifice, before he was going to be crucified, there were two disciples who came up. A few disciples came up to him and asked a couple of questions. So just going to rehash our memories, what these disciples were thinking. We're going to look again at Matthew chapter 24. We'll focus on a few things that we didn't look at in the past few weeks, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to just rehash what is happening here. This is just the last week before our Lord Jesus Christ is going to the cross. He's already, the betrayal has already happened. There is, you know, obviously the Roman soldiers are about to come and take him. And then there is these disciples asking these questions to him about two things: when and what? Two things. This is the questions that the disciples asked. In verse 3, in chapter 24 of Matthew, the disciples ask, tell us, when will these things be? It was important for those disciples to know when. Yeah? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? It was important to those disciples to ask, what will be the signs? The last couple of weeks we looked at what those signs were. We almost looked at 20 odd signs, what the signs are. And again today, we are going to consider, why is this important? You know, there is one more important event left in our lives. That is meeting Him, then being with Him, and then having an eternal life with Him. That is the most important event left in our lives. We could say that there are many other events in our natural life that we live in, but the most important event is when and what. We looked at a lot of the whats. Now, these disciples were going up from the temple. And when they came up to show up to Him, Jesus said to these disciples, do you not see all of these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another, and that shall not be thrown down. Jesus, just previously before this, in the previous chapter, denounced the false teachers. Denounced not only the false teachers, He also here is now proclaiming the desolation of this magnificent temple that they were looking at. And Jesus is telling them, this is all not going to stand. This is all going to be going away. And then He has already told them He's coming back. He's already told them many times during His last week in this physical earth that we are all privileged to live, what is going to happen. And then He tells them exactly what they needed to hear. The question is, do we need to hear it again this morning? And the answer is certainly yes. We have to hear that again as well. We need to be having this event top of mind every day. The preparedness, if we want a title for this morning, we can put it, living in the preparedness of His coming. And there is two things that they asked, and Jesus was not mindful, we could say, of giving them an exact date and an year. He did not give them an exact date and year. They would have loved to, so would we have, because we are creatures of knowing everything and preparing everything in the last minute. That is why the Lord did not give them a time. But He gave them the signs of His appearing. He gave them the era that He's going to come in. He told very clearly many signs. In that reading, in verse 5, it says, many will come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear wars and rumors. Many will come deceiving. Hear wars and rumors, verse 2. Further, nations will arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then He talked about further deception. Lawlessness will abound. Love of many will grow cold, but he who endures shall be saved. Gospel will be preached in all of the world as a witness to the nation, and the end will come. He gave them all of these signs of what are the signs. That question, what? He gave them many signs. He further gave them in 24 the cosmic events that's going to happen at the end of it. Talks about immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will not be shaken. then the Son of Man, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all of the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We looked at that aspect a little bit more in detail last time. You know, what is important here is this: after he told all of these things, he gave a series of parables to the disciples. He gave parable after parable after parable for their application and for our application. Much was spoken in these parables. Parable of the fig tree was given. Parable of Noah and how those people lived at that time was given. Parable of the two servants were given, how different those two servants were. Parable of the 10 virgins were given. Parable of the talents were given. Why? One would ask. September 11, 2022, all these parables are applicable for each one of us so that we will be prepared. I think I asked a question last time. Why does this matter? I think the answer was we would be prepared. Preparation is key in the kingdom of God. Preparation is key for any event. Did anyone have to give an exam in the last few months? Few years? Have you ever prepared for anything? We are always preparing for many things. But imagine an important event that you're preparing for. Like you've been studying for 4 years and you have now to give an exam on a particular day. You've been studying for 4 years for a particular degree and there is an exam coming up. What would you do the previous night? The answer is obvious. You will prepare. We will prepare. Our Lord Jesus Christ is surely coming back and He's asking us to be alert, to watch. To watch as if that moment will happen today. As if it will happen today, not thinking it's happening way maybe in 2024, 2025, 2026, maybe 2040, maybe when my children grow up, maybe that's when He's coming back. And we're going to look at how the first century church lived. Multiple verses throughout the New Testament where Paul was thinking and living as if the Lord is coming. Why? Because that exactly was the attitude that God wanted Paul, Peter, John, and many other disciples to have. And even this year, this moment, as we look into this one or two, maybe as time goes, parables, the attitude is what matters. Attitude is the key for everything. If you have the wrong attitude, you will mess up your preparation. Now, repeat the statement again. If you have the wrong attitude, you will mess up your preparation. God does not want any one of His children, the sheep who has been saved at the cross, who have been now included in the family of Christ. He does not want any one of us to have a wrong attitude. An attitude would define your preparation. If you think the exam is a big enough event in your life, you will allocate more time for the preparation. If you think it's okay to fail that exam, and yeah, come what may, we will see, maybe I can give another exam, your attitude would be seen during the preparation of that, and the results of your examination will be evident in how prepared you were. God is encouraging His children, all of us seated here, including me and many of His children over the ages, to watch. And talking about watching, turn with me. I'm going to read 5 verses. If you are not getting the verses, if you can just write it down and we'll quickly go through it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Read. These are all very important things that Paul, you know, and many of his children love to point to other believers. They themselves were fully convinced, so they could talk with that confidence to other believers. Now here Paul is talking to the church in Corinth in chapter 1 verse 7. Okay, we'll read 6 and 7. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also conform you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that word eagerly waiting? Hebrews chapter 10. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And we will read 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more as you see the day approaching. Second, one more verse. James chapter 5, verse 8. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. One more verse, fourth verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. We looked at this in depth, I believe, a few months ago. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Many Antichrists have come when this was written, and it is being told it is the last hour. You know, sin is running rampant these days. It is continuing its reckless course, preparing the way for his return. Sin is abounding, lawlessness is abounding, and the best way to even realize is if you go up to any person and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, what would they do? As we've heard on the streets when the gospel tract is given, what happens? Sin is continuing to abound. Lawlessness is continuing to abound, and it will not stop. It will reach its apex. It will reach its top level of abomination. And then the Antichrist will come and establish something in this earth. And there is going to be a significant period of tribulation. It is being marked in the words that we read last time, 7 years of tribulation. Abomination, we were reading in Matthew chapter 24 itself, in verse 15, that event. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then there is examples given. Let those who are in Judea, who is on the housetop, not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is on the field not go back and to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter nor in on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then he tells, do not worry. When someone says, here is Christ, there is Christ, he has come. You know, I'm telling you that even the elect will get deceived. Even their hearts could go cold. Second coming is a sure and a certain event that is coming, as the lightning is going to flash from the east and the west. Immediately after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened. We heard all of that. So what was the key thing we said, and I started off, is how do you live in expectation of this? By just applying some of the parables that has been given here. So looking at the first parable, which says, we're going to look at is that from 36 onwards. So the easily up until now, the what has been very clearly explained. The disciples asked, what are the signs of your second coming? Up until 36, what has been explained? From verse 36 onwards is the when, the timing of this. And what does it say? But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now note, now it's becoming very specific. Of that day and hour. It's not of the era. The era can be discerned by the ones who have been saved by the Spirit. The era can be clearly discerned by the signs that is going on. But you cannot assume, neither can I assume, it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen day after tomorrow. We can't, because not even, it's telling, even the angels do not know that. The angels who are going to be involved in this event, in Revelation 6 onwards, we see they are the people who are going to be involved in the tribulation, gathering out and rolling out all of the fury of the bowl judgments. They are the people who would be going out and turning the seas into blood. They are the people who are going to be taking the sickle and reaping and separating the goats from the sheep. They are being, but even they do not know the hour and the day. But now here is the thing, the application for us. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, so let us stop there and think about what were the life in the days of Noah. War was abounding.
Sin
was abounding, lawlessness was abounding, and here it says, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now that's how it's been summed up. It's not eating and drinking and marrying and any of those things are sin itself. It's the routines of life that people at that generation of Noah were involved in, the routines of everything. You know, eating might signify working for our own material things. It's nothing wrong in it, but it's telling very clearly that at that time, no one believed what Noah said. No one understood what Noah was telling. How many years of preaching Noah might have did? How many years did it take to build that ark? How many people came into the ark? How many? The idea in this parable is this: so very few people were prepared to get into that ark. Noah and his wife and his children and his wife. So 8 people. It took 120 years for Noah to build the ark. He was not only a wise builder of building the ark. He had definitely, but we will look into a couple of verses where it says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Turn with me, 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 2.
is. Everyone got it? No, I got it. I'm just making sure you all got it. Yeah. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Okay, now watch. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. This is what was going on. Noah was continuing to be a preacher at that time, but nobody heard him. Nobody was interested. Nobody took him seriously. They said, when the flood hits, we will make a decision. But you know what? The doors were shut. It was too late. And this is the relevance of this parable here. In verse 39 in Matthew chapter 24, it says, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be seen in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore. Well, that's the application to all of us here. Watch. Watching means being alert. Alertness means being prepared. Preparedness means living in the imminent, expectant return of our Christ. Watch, therefore. Watch what's happening around you. Watch what's happening in you, what's happening in your house, what's happening in your church, what's happening in your city, what's happening in this world. Watch. You do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Then again it says, therefore, you also be ready. We all got ready to come here. We had to take some steps to get ready. We had to fall in line in some of the things that was conflicting priorities. You know what I mean? Conflicting priorities, it comes up always. It comes up every day. It comes up every moment. Priorities of our sinful heart, priorities that bring joy to our own hearts, and priorities to be waiting for the imminent return of Christ. They're two different things. But if you knew what hour the thief was coming, you would watch. But God hasn't revealed that intentionally to us. He wants us to be ready. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Will the church of the living God be caught out? It's the bigger question. Will we get caught out, not living for the Son of Man at an hour we do not expect? If you turn with me to Thessalonians, I want to spend a bit of time about the attitude of the world that we live in. Little bit of time. Not long. This is the world that we live in. 2 Thessalonians. Turn with me. Chapter 2 explains a little bit of how the scoffers live at this time. And watch out. Watch out for this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because it's very clearly articulated here in how the attitude
of the scoffers that we are surrounded with lives. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter as it from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes and the man of sin is revealed. The son of perdition, man of sin, the son of perdition, that is, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But you do not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work only. He who now restrains will do until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. I'm going to stop there. And that is that key thing. I want to quickly. Working of Satan is also going to have power. He's also going to show signs. And he's also going to be lying. So he's going to pursue verse 10. And all with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. We are living in this generation who is not receiving the love of the truth. They have believing the lies of Satan. This life is the best life that you have ever had. So eat, drink, and be merry. And do what you want. There is nothing else after this. They are believing this. Not men who has low intellect. Not men who hasn't read this word. Not men who cannot read and understand. They have read this word. They know about this word. They know what Jesus has preached, but they are believing in the lie. And they will continue to abound in saying that. But that is for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, watch, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Strong delusion will be sent to these people even while the tribulation activities are going to come into this world. They will believe the lie of Satan and his messengers. They will say everything else other than what the word says. They will maybe come up with scientific reasons to explain why these cosmic changes are happening in this world. They will come up with reasons with why this ocean has turned into blood. They will come up with reasons why the moon is not giving its light. They will come up with many reasons. Strong delusions will be sent so that they will believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These are the people who would not care, who did not care, and will continue not to care. And there is a long list of people in this world who belong there. But we who have believed the truth, we who have been given the word, we who have read that verse, Hebrews chapter 9, 28, for those of us who are eagerly waiting for his appearing, he will appear a second time. And to us, he's asking us to stand fast in our walk, in our talk, and in our conduct. He says, verse 13 onwards, can be applied to us, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. That is what He did to us as well. He has chosen us as well, predestined, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our example. We have been encouraged to look at these scoffers who are going to deliberately believe the lie. Strong delusion is what they are going to be in living in. And that is what those scoffers are. While we were at 2 Peter, we were reading, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and our Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. See, this is going to be the biggest problem that they would say. Well, where is the promise of his coming? Everything is continuing just like it was. Nothing has stopped. This is scoffers. That is the age that we are living in. But the bottom line here is, are we also leaping into a little bit of that mentality? He's not coming in. There is no imminent return. And that is the application for the message. Because we probably would be not planning that he could come this week. Because if he was coming this week, we would be wanting to be very prepared for it. But look what they're doing. They are walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep and all things continue as they were beginning from the creation, for this they willfully forget. This is what they are willfully forgetting, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished by being flooded with the water. They are forgetting about this event. The world was once flooded with water, and then they perished. They are forgetting this parable of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. And I also, we know then all the other verses which continues to say, now how is one day for the Lord? It's just like 1,000 years, because we are so incapable of understanding 1,000 years. We are so incapable in our natural mind and our body to understand 1,000 years. It's just like one day for the Lord. What is it? It's nothing. Just 2 days have passed. 2,000 years have passed. It's nothing. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. Then I remember last time I read these verses of the day of the Lord, that everything, the elements of this world that we are living in, is going to be perished. I'm not going to read that. So he then says to each one of us to be spotless and blameless. He's telling us to not forget that he's coming back to the the parables that we were looking at in Matthew chapter 24, there is a question being asked in verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? This is it. We have to take away three things. He's asking us to be, firstly, as children, as sheep who have been brought into the shepherd's house, asking us to watch, be alert, be on the guard, prepare yourself, prepare for this coming day. Prepare not only yourself, if you think you have prepared yourself, prepare your families, prepare your communities. And then he's telling, who then is faithful and a wise servant? Then he's telling us to be faithful and to be wise servants in his house. The parable here continues to go like this. Whom his master made ruler over his household. We have a master, and he has made us ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. There are two major events in our life. We have all, a lot of us here, have come into the kingdom. What we have not seen is the fullness of that kingdom. We've all been saved. What we have not seen is who we will be when we will be with him forever and ever and ever, worshiping him, being in his presence, nullifying all of the things that we counted gain for ourselves. While we are in that, we are in this mode of so doing whatever faithfully you have been asked to do. He has given, there is many more things here in the other parables that is encouraging us to be faithful. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? There is an example of an unfaithful wise servant given here in this parable. I would read that out just so you're aware, and I'm aware as well. Assuredly I say to you that he will make them ruler over his goods. Who? The faithful servant is going to be made ruler in his coming kingdom. May that be the 1,000-year millennial reign that he will establish in this world, or the time that we will spend, he is expecting to reward his servants appropriately. He is going to do that. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour he is not aware of. Those are the scoffers. Who's not looking, and even worse, they are not even aware of. Oh, praise God, we are already aware that he's coming. But he's encouraging us to earnestly look, as if it could be any time. He's encouraging us to discern the times. This is such a graphic event. Last verse in that parable. And we'll cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We know what that place is. We know what that place was designed for. We know that place is somewhere that we have all escaped out of. We know the devil is going there. So what? A few weeks ago, when I was talking about why is this so important, it is one thing so that his servants will be found being ready. Was one thing, being ready. I think somebody answered, being ready. You do not want to fail the one who died for us. He's asking us to be ready. He did tell us through multiple times in the readings today to put on Christ. He asked us to be faithful in assembling and encouraging one another. Verse Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 said, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." So as we go through this, September month of 2022 is encouraging each one of us to see the day approaching. That is the biggest day for the believer. The return with the saints. There is a rapture that will happen to be caught up with him. There is a marriage supper of the Lamb. He's preparing his bride. There is a return of him, 100% sure and certain event in this world. There is judgments that will be passed on the ungodly. Scoffers will be cut in two and put into the lake of fire. There is going to be the rise of the Antichrist. There is going to be the ungodly abounding and abounding and abounding, and it will reach a pinnacle and it will call itself God and replace and stop. There is going to be an abomination of the desolation that Daniel spoke of. There is coming a time. It may be in our lifetime. It may be in our children's lifetime. But he's telling it doesn't matter. You got to live as if it is any time, could be any time. With that said, he's telling us and encouraging us, when the master of the house cometh, he's going to make us rulers over his goods. He has many things. We belong to him. We are his servants. We are his ambassadors. We have only one purpose in life, to recognize years and years and years and years and timeline that we will spend with him. God willing, coming times, in the coming weeks, we will look at the earthly reign that he is going to establish in this earth. 1,000 years physically being with him, the composition of this earth has to change for his reign. It will change. Then we know. Then this fallen earth will be all dissolved. And there will be a new earth and a new heaven. These are all true words of the shepherd who died for us. New earth, new heaven to be with him. We will look at that too, God willing, coming time. That said, let us finish with that two words, asking ourselves the question, are we alert? Are we looking for our Lord Jesus Christ to return? And if it is, let us continue to be steadfast in all what he has asked us to be faithful for. He does not define what that is, but he has given us much work here in this earth. So let us close in prayer. Loving Father, Lord, we thank you for these words that just remind us that we are, oh Lord, just drawn to think that just like the ways of days of Noah were, such will be the days that you will come back again. Lord Jesus, many people will be stuck in their own routine, but those of us who have been called into your kingdom, we pray that we will continue to hold our lives in the light of what you want us to. Lord Jesus, we cannot say we have done that enough. We cannot say that we are fully prepared. Lord, if I am honest to myself, there is much more to be done. Lord, we pray that we will look and be faithful. Lord, it is very simple ask you have asked us to be faithful. And Lord Jesus, to also think and love your coming back. There are many things in this world that does not allow us to depart from the affections of this world. There are many routines in this world that your children are being drawn out into. Lord, we pray that we will look beyond the routines. We will look beyond the ordinary. We will look at the immortality that we will be putting on. Lord, we will look beyond all of that. And as we've been reminded in the past few weeks, as we've been studying of the work and the ministry that you are doing, as you are sitting in the right hand of the Father in heaven, you are continuing your ministry faithfully and you are preparing your kingdom. Lord Jesus, help us to also be getting ready, being fully alert, and being fully faithful for your return. We ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.